Talk Shoes. Recorded live.
Well, greeting, Zobbling Wiggers, Mamzers, and Astron. This is basically liability clueless. I mean, that fat 250-pound piece of sack shit and 150-pound sack is on here tonight, and he's going ahead and telling this deluded nonsense. And maybe the goofy bastard will even show in or call in or something like that. I do have a phone number, and I went ahead and posted it a while back ago. But he's just really just a rather deluded sack of wigger shit. But this is episode number 22 of The Movement Turd, and the title of it is called The Wigger Whimperer Finds Out That He's Actually the Attorney for the Fuck, as opposed to the Damned. And this is the June 13, 2010 edition, and right now it's 10:22 Central Standard Time. Like usual, I do not run the thing on time. What happened is that me and Roxy got a bunch of things done today. We got the laundry done. We got the dishes washed, and the poor little Buddy the Poopy Dog / little Cujo / Beelzebub got his weekly flea bath, and he didn't like it. Now, Beelzebub usually is a fairly good judge of character, but he did like old Liability Clueless. I think he recognized in Liability Clueless that they both had suffered tremendous losses. They both lost their nuts here. Liability hangs around, I think, wanting to be a little, wanting to go ahead and be a unicorn bell priestess, Sibylline. In any case, he goes ahead and shows up. If you want to go ahead and see what Liability Clueless looks at, don't only look at the avatar over on Christian National Forum. There was a show going on about a week ago. It was on Gangland called Clan of Killers. Now, I don't know why they called it the Clan of Killers, because there were lots of nigger and Mexican beaner gangs, which really have a body count, whereas the Clan of Killers should have been the clan, the Ku Klux Clowns of Clan Nigglechester or something like that, because all that ended up being hurt was one little 16-year-old beaner got his ass beat by two drunken Anglo mestizos at a county fair in Kentucky, and most of these went ahead and took Ron Edwards for a good deal of money. Ron Edwards didn't have any money, but most of these got bragging rights. If you go ahead and look at old Liability Clueless, he called himself Chaplain Bill. Well, he just sits there, just like he did for, the day and a half he was down here, the weekend of October 10th and 11th of last year. He went ahead and he pissed him, owned him, begged to be ordained by me. And I said, okay, no big deal. Why not? And when he came down here, I said, how big a elaborate, establishment, ceremony do you want? He said, not very elaborate at all. So I went ahead and got up my old video camera, and we went ahead, and Liability was just ever so, nice. And then, he was telling me all sorts of stuff, like, I'll never talk about how you're a child molester, because I got falsely accused of two separate charges of sexual assault. Two separate charges of sexual assault. Well, it must have been when you were young. And then Liability told me a boo-hoo-hoo-hoo story about, in any case, anyway, you see them spitting here. I mean, he's 250 pounds of kike shit and 150-pound sack. And all he does is he just sits there. If you want to look at the real chaplain, there's some skinny old fanatic looking old white guy who's doing the talking from the Bible. Liability's just sitting there. And the thing about it is, I think Liability is just nothing more than a little bitty wannabe who probably has turned state's evidence. He goes ahead and he hangs around these places. He just sits there. And he was, I must give Liability credit, he was the lightest-looking one of the Clan of Killers. Most of them look like Anglo Mestizo Mamsers. Dark hair, burnt cork, nigger looking Mexican eyes, and one of them there. And I think Rod Edwards, he looks like a white man, but you end up seeing a lot of these Mamsers come in, and they're more white than actual whites are in some cases. The liability just sits there, just like a lump, and he just sits there. If you see them here, it's the same damn crap that he did when he was down here. He just sat like a lump, a wigger shit, just sat there. And I'd ask him to bring down his computer, and I'd try to teach him the weak means of internet espionage, because he has an AOL account, which means a dynamic IP. So does Visser. Now, I think it's because most of them, AOL used to be called Agent Online because they were supposedly spying on you. Or they said they were spying on you, and everybody believed it. So they said AOL meant Agent Online. But usually a lot of Zogbots do have AOL accounts because they have dynamic IPs. But Lyle Bill's notion is he just goes ahead and he sits there. And the morning of the Sunday morning, well, rather than just go ahead and stay up, he has to be, let home early. He's going to go ahead and drive back to Florissant, Missouri, now St. Louis. And I said, well, okay. But first, what I want you to do is I want you to go ahead and type in, I went ahead and I spent 45 minutes figuring out how to use PowerPoint. I really didn't know how to use PowerPoint, but being fairly computer literate and fairly intelligent, I was able to go ahead and come up with a degree-looking thing, like a degree, and I went ahead and gave Lyle Bill DeClaire's certificate of ordination. He was also proud of that thing here. It was just a shiniest little thing he had, and I said, well, hey, Bill, you just take me with me for a year, and you can go your own way. Now, Lyle Bill didn't even last 3 years. So I had him go ahead, and I sent to Christian Nationalist, and I said the same thing. I said, well, hey, let's go ahead and send it to Stormfront, old Mark Downey will have a conniption fit about that. And a lot of Bill wasn't too crazy about doing it, but he went ahead and typed in, Chaplain Bill, and then his password. I think the stupid bastard went ahead and typed, on the thing which said, remember me. So as a result, well, yeah, I remembered him. So anyway, we set up Pastor, Pastor Bill. Now he's a pastor. A Pastor Bill Yahoo account, a Facebook account, a Gmail account. And we went ahead and showed him how to go ahead and play Mafia Wars. He was playing Mafia Wars for a while. But anyway, he wasn't too crazy about that. And I know I was sort of in trouble when old Liar Bill, he says, well, what do you want me to do about Stormfront? And I said, well, look, what you do about Stormfront is you go ahead and you... I lost the connection here. Anyway, where was I? Well, I'm going to have to go ahead and sign in. Let me put the phone down for a second. Anyway, I got the thing back on. Anyway, Lyle Bill, he just saw it, and he was asking me, what should I do about Stormfront? My sustaining membership's about to elapse. So what do you want to do about it? Well, I'm not sure whether to renew or not. So, well, you do whatever you feel like. Bill. And he went ahead and he left around 3 o'clock Sunday morning. And, he got back later that day. He was playing Mafia Wars. And you know, he started coming up with this crap. I mean, it's still on my forum, to where he was whining that essentially Mark Downey wouldn't pay enough attention to him, as if he needed attention from Mark Downey. And then, you know, I sort of thought that essentially Don Black was embarrassed about Clint. That's why he went ahead and Clint Downey, you know, Debbie and Mark Downey. That's why he kicked her out. And then she begged and begged and begged to be let back on. So, yeah, old Lyle Bell just goes ahead and essentially betrays, you know, goes ahead and starts siding with Downey. And then he says that he exchanged a number of private messages with Downey. And I said, well, look, if this was a wartime situation, you and Milta, you'd be shot for treason for collaborating with the enemy.
Excuse me, I went ahead and I'm talking to the enemy. Yeah, I'm talking to the enemy. I got a personal relationship with the enemy. Yeah, he's a nice guy, the enemy is. And what happens is that we're going to have to out with each other. Me and the meerkat. You know, he promised not to go ahead and bop my nuts, you know, my mom's nutted nutsack on the downstroke, you know, and I'm plotting old Quant here. He likes that Aryan input.
Well, I went ahead and told him that shit. You know, he essentially was just a traitor here, and I was kicking, you know, I was pretty well with on that. But I'd ask him to stick with me for a month and, you know, for a year, and shoot, he didn't even last 3 days. And that's the sort of character people are. And then I was wondering, well, you know, did no Lyle Bell come down, you know, skilled in ways of espionage to put child porn or something on my new Toshiba laptop? And then I thought, and I was looking at this stuff, and then I go ahead and open up the, you know, I'm going ahead and look at computer, and lo and behold, up comes Stormfront. And I log in as Chaplain Bell. And I'm able to read old Chaplain Bell's private messages. I'm able to go ahead and read the sustaining messages here. And Lyle Bell, he had the habit of going ahead and deleting stuff that wasn't in there. But Lyle Bell went ahead and accepted moderatorship. And he was talking about, you know, moderating away and Mo Divier and Lisa Lee and the rest of them. And he got pretty tired of the Downies. He was whining to them about how they didn't go ahead and obey the rules. And therefore, Louie Lindstedt, as he called me, and, you know, Visser would have a right. By the way, you know, Liability Clueless was, you know, booted from Visser's old forum. You know, as a traitor, as, you know, pretty well as a traitor. And it wasn't my doing. I mean, what I like doing is I like going ahead and taking, you know, Visser's and Lyle Bill's old accounts and change the password and essentially have them go ahead and say whatever the hell they want to on my forum. Now, granted, there is some stream of cuckishness in usually light Jew blue, but essentially I don't go ahead and change anything that they say other than I just go ahead and impart a stream of cuckishness to it. Anyway, so where was I? Yeah, Lyle Bell, you know, Lyle Bell, he just shows up. And he's not too smart, but what he does, and I think, you know, he was going ahead and telling me about his tales of woe, about how his sisters were mud sharks, and how he had a bunch of nigger men living with his mother, you know, and sisters here, and they had a bunch of nigglets, and he was in the Air Force, and, you know, after pretty well I was able to go ahead, I went ahead and changed the, you know, Pastor Bill to where I have access to Pastor Bill at Gmail, and Pastor Bill at Yahoo, and Pastor Bill at Facebook, and the rest, and I could go ahead and screw with Pastor Bill if I wanted to, but, you know, no. I just pretty well just maintain control. And I did this before I knew about the Stormfront account. But, you know, was Lyle Bell smart enough to go ahead and figure out that? No. Now, what I did do is that I would go ahead and get on the other computer, the other Toshiba, and log in, make sure that Lyle Bell was in there. Because I didn't want him wondering, well, I didn't log in at 3:13 in the morning. Oh, no, Lindstedt got me, you know, dead to rights. And pretty well, I was able to go ahead and spy on Liability Clueless for about 2.5 months until sometime between December, Christmas, and January 1st. And from what I got, a lot of bill didn't get back on, and the old lady went ahead and turned off my, Anyway, guest number 15, I'm going to go ahead and, let's see, I'm going to go ahead and block chat for you. Okay? Oh, I'm going to try to. We are being attacked. Yeah, well, looks like it. Well, pretty well. He's going to go ahead and go on here. Well, what happens is 15 is probably Oberdorker or the rest here. It looks like Liability Clueless headed back out. You didn't like what was being said. But the thing, Liability, he went ahead and he, from what I gather, he just goes ahead and he goes to these things. He's a little wannabe joiner. And I think he just sits there and he goes ahead and reports to local pigs about what's going on. I mean, Liability is essentially a Zogbot. And if anybody went ahead and came up, listened to this crap about burning in hell or something like that forever and ever, ever, that's the sort of crap this Jonathan Williams, who used to be of the Rick Spring faction, used to say. That's not Christian identity dogma. And Liability don't know anything. I mean, Liability thinks he knows everything about it, but essentially he didn't know the difference between, Bertrand Comperé and E. Ray Capt. And didn't know that Ray Capt was not a dual feed liner. And essentially, Liability is not barely able to go ahead and write a sentence here. He really is mentally challenged quite a bit. So, anyway, yeah, all righty, hey. See, that's the sort of crap. That's the sort of crap that you wonder why these Jews and the rest of them go ahead and get on, and they go ahead and make things bad for the rest of the people. Now, it might be Exisberg. You never know. Yeah, anyway. I mean, that's the sort of thing that these goofy bastards do. They show up, and they're just like Jews. And they think they're so clever. But what you do is that you just simply go ahead. Sorry, trash can. Okay. Anyway, it's what they do. You know what I mean? But in any case, they show up and they cause trouble. And I went ahead and nuked number 20 here. What Bill Fink does, he just goes ahead and he nukes, he just goes ahead and nukes the guests. So, anyway. Oh, shoot. Sorry. Yeah, looks like I'm going to have to go ahead and leave my finger on this thing here. But it might be a Nimbuster. You never know. But what happens is that is the problem. The problem is Uyghurs and Mamzers. They act according to their nature. Now, Liability Clueless, he acts according to his nature because, he's just a limited IQ, character who shows up here. Now, everybody knows what he looks like, and, look, if you see the character coming, just show the bastard the door here. I mean, he's not really welcome or not really wanted. Now, one thing I was thinking is, why am I able to go ahead and do a show without very much preparation? And the answer is that I know exactly, pretty much what I mean and what I say, and my policy never changes. Whereas you end up having Visser and Brian Wright on the show, like they did, and I went ahead and uploaded, is that what happens, their lies end up catching them out here. For example, Apocalypse was on, he said, well, shoot, you claimed that Brian Wood was a Linstead sock puppet, but here you are talking to him and about how you've known each other for 4 or 5 years. And Brian Wright just simply has to go ahead, you have to ban him because he's a mamzer. And he's caused trouble. He's been stalking John Burton. And you got Bannon, but then you go ahead and let him back on. And when Brian Wright was left back on for the fifth time, I figured out, I just can't go ahead and put up with Visser anymore, his thieving ways, even though he wasn't able to go ahead and steal the church. Well, by the way, if Visser is listening and the rest of them here, they're sort of claiming that Gillette is their big buddy and how they have a secret. They have a secret thing from Gillette here that's taken me and John Britton to task. But for some reason, they never go ahead and post it. I wonder how come. And the answer is that if they did have something, they would go ahead and post it. I went ahead and looked. And essentially, Pisser's Pussy Palace, that is new CPM form. I mean, you know, talking about me and talking about a few others, that's about all they have to do. That's all they have to do. You know, they go ahead and they talk about a few other things. But, you know, Liabell, he's just an 85 IQ idiot who shows up and just sits like a lump and essentially goes ahead and does some spying, and then he goes ahead and he makes up these lies. You know, for one example is that, well, Louis Beam didn't like the way, you know, way I worked for him here, so he got rid of me. Well, no. Louis Beam, back in, people go ahead, every so often I get an email from people saying, well, how's Louis Beam doing? I said, well, go to his webpage and ask him. Well, how come he wasn't made Butler's successor? And I say, well, two reasons. Both equally valid. For my guy, Louis Beam is not dual feed line. You know, second reason is that Louis Beam in 1996 was wanting to get out of the movement. Why would you go ahead and make head of the Aryan Nation someone who is, albeit Christian identity, is not a dual feed liner, A, and B, someone who wants to get out of the movement anyway? So, people go ahead and ask, well, that's who he should have, gone ahead and done. Well, no, he went ahead and chose John Britton's Uncle Newman to go ahead and do it, even though he believed in Ephraim Scepter heresy. But he got a lot better with Newman, Butler did, than he did James Britton. Now, James Britton, John's father just said, well, what? You know, Richard, why are you surrounding yourself by all the skinhead offal? Why are you surrounding yourself by the skinhead rabble? And Butler didn't have an answer. Some people thought Butler was senile all the time. He wasn't senile. The problem was is that by the time that question was asked, there was nothing, there was only a few family members from the time Wesley Swift's church left. And I asked John Burton, well, why didn't your dad, James, just simply take over for Butler and said, hey, I don't like the way Butler's doing things? He said, well, look, that isn't the way, they did it in my father's time. Butler was tenured to my father, and therefore my father pretty well had to go ahead and go along with it here. That was the way they did things back then. Okay? So, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and check the chat, see how the chat is doing. See how this chat is doing. But it looks like it looks like things are, I'm not able to go ahead. TalkShoe is pretty buggy. Okay, I got discontinued again. Well, let's see, hopefully, I've got to log back in. Well, it looks like we have a little ice clown going ahead playing his little game here. Anyway. Yep. He goes in, he leaves his turd, he gets out, he comes back in, leaves his turd. Oh, boy. Well, I guess he's quicker than I can ban him here. Now, what I could do is simply, meow, is a rabid kike, yeah. Anyway, it's a show, it left, you know what I mean? Anyway, what to say? Oh, heck, I already got guest number 45. He goes ahead and logs on before I can go ahead and ban his ass here. Anyway, experts should, you know, must be gelding one of these days here. And they go ahead and they show up. Okay. Anyway, we're up to 48. Anyway. I don't know. What I may end up doing is just simply blocking guest participation for the next 5 or 10, you know. Oh, okay. All right, 43, I understand. Anyway, what happens is that with William B doesn't understand that Bluto is a June Stain sock puppet. So, anyway. What I'd like to do, looks like liability clues. He had enough of getting his ass chewed here. He was yapping about how he's welcome to go on any certain forum. And that's true, he is. But the thing about it is that he's known as a stick nigger wherever he goes here. Every single time he shows up, he goes ahead and, he ends up being stick niggered real quick here. He's not really liked here because, I mean, what is there to like about a fat, lying hypocrite who just doesn't have much in the way of, brain power? Hold on, I gotta shut the door because Roxy wants me. You can stay down, Poopy Dog. You can head out. All right. Poopy Dog's sort of scared because, every so often, he ends up having a little anxiety attack, and today he got a flea bath. He didn't like his little flea bath. Anyway, where was I? Larbell is going ahead talking about how he's at, and Larbell's pretty delusional. He goes ahead, he comes up with these lies, and he tells them once or twice or two or three times, he starts believing them here. And that's why he's a good deal like this agent provocateur that supposedly went ahead and rounded up Edgar Steele. Because if you go ahead and you associate with weak-minded people who, oh, well. Anyway, old Bell's a puppy. He heads out here. I shut the door on him here, but he opens the door so often. He was happy. He was happy as could be because we went down to the mailbox. He was in puppy dog heaven, and then I grabbed him, instead of taking the leash off, I went ahead and took him to the sink, and Roxy was waiting, and he ended up getting a Zyklon B flea bath here. See, puppy dog and Jews, they both don't much care for Zyklon B flea baths. The old puppy dog sometimes has little anxiety attacks over that stuff. Anyway, let's see. Okay. Well, I do need to go ahead and do it. The problem of this is I'm not sure if I go ahead and let this character run wild in the chat room. What I could do is I could go ahead and block, participation by guests, and that's what I may end up doing. I do need to go ahead and get out to what the Wigger Whimper actually did. I was going to go ahead and talk about a few other things here. So what I'm going to do, sign up phony names. Well, that's true. You can sign up a number of phony names, but it'll take you a while to log in here as opposed to a guest here. Anyway, well, I don't know. I may just go ahead and block it for a little while, and then they'll show that, they'll go ahead and, you win. Well, what happens is that your characters like you, in a real society, essentially the first time you acted up, you'd be gelded. You know what I mean? So, you'd end up being gelded, and that'd be the end of you. You wouldn't be, there wouldn't be any more crap here. Because you lie, well, I'm going to go ahead and block participation by guess. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and block the participation by guess here. Well, let me see. I'm going to try to block participation by guess. Okay, do I want to go ahead and do that? It says there's a lot of work to it. Anyway. All right. Shoot, am I even on? Well, okay, it looks like all the guests are blocked. Good. Let's see if I'm still on. Well, I don't know if it's still on or not, but it does say that the guests are all blocked. So I'm going to go ahead and ignore the chat and get to the program, because it's a hell of a deal when you end up having little Jews and Mamzers and the rest of them are there. Now, I allowed Liar Bill to go ahead and have his say, although he didn't have any say. He ends up going ahead and talking the same sort of stupid crap. And I tried to go ahead and explain to everyone in the movement is that what we have is we have a Wigger problem. Not a Jew problem so much, not even a nigger or beaner problem, but a Wigger problem. And if you end up destroying or exterminating the Wiggers, and by that I mean especially the ones who go ahead and use the power of government, be they police or lawyers or teachers or whatever, they use the power of government to go ahead and get a special dispensation that the rest of the people can't get. Those people essentially are the parasites. And they're worse than parasites because they go ahead and they bring in all this other vermin. Now, someone like Ixabert or something like that, in a normal situation, you give them one chance. The first time you went ahead and acted up, you go ahead and remove one testicle. Well, you give him a choice. The governor authority goes ahead and removes both testicles, or Ixabert goes ahead and removes, chews off one of his testicles, and then he behaves himself with one testicle. Now, being a Jew, more than likely, he pretty well wouldn't even be allowed to go ahead and live. But this sort of behavior is common among Wiggers. Very common. You never have any problem with them. And, okay. Well, anyway. Yes, but, look, Mr. Average Player, it takes you longer to go ahead and make an account than it does for me to block you. Anyway, You end up having you end up going ahead and having these people, and you know, who really have no business living in white society. They're just simply parasites and predators, and that is what the vast majority of Uyghurs are. And people look at me askance when I say that what we have is we have a Uyghur problem, and we can't get any better. Things will not get any better as long as 140 million Uyghurs live. And they say, well, Martin, are you going to go ahead and kill them all personally? And the answer is no. But as society falls apart, they will die. I mean, it really wasn't Elijah or Elisha who went ahead and destroyed ancient Israel and had them carried off. It wasn't any one person who went ahead and destroyed Nineveh and Tyre and the rest of them. Well, Tyre was pretty well destroyed by Alexander the Great, but there's no one certain person who goes ahead you can put the blame on for destroying any great civilization which has run its time past. Essentially, the problem is among the people who make up that civilization. They're the ones that go ahead and destroy it. Now, Edgar Steele, he loved to call himself the attorney for the damned. And essentially what I called him was attorney for the fucked. Because it seemed to me that every single time he had a client, that client ended up losing. Now, in the case of Richard Butler, he was going to go ahead and lose anyway. The people, the Uyghurs up around his neck of the woods, want him out of there. And they went ahead and voted in to where he had to pay $6 million. And then in Idaho, which is a really screwed up state, even if you want to go ahead and be a defendant, you have to pay money in order to go ahead and even be a defendant, even have a day in court. In the rest of the states, you don't have to pay money in order to go ahead and defend and be in court. But thought process. What they do is it was a very good book. You know, Edgar Steele's Defense of Racism was a very good book. He went ahead and sent me a copy and said to my favorite curmudgeon, you know, Martin Linstead. And I went ahead, and a lot of Christian Identity did not like the book because on, I think it was page 14, he said, you cannot have a reasonable discussion about race with Christian Identity types. And, well, I was a Christian Identity type. So was a number of other people. And we were saying, what do you need a discussion of racism for? You know, non-whites do not belong among white people. End of story. Now, you may think that is an unreasonable way to hold, but as we look at it, it's the only way to hold. What good does talking about race do you when you're surrounded by niggers and beaners? Here's Edgar Steele going ahead and putting on airs about that. And I said, look, Edgar, your book, you know, he was asking me to do a review. I said, your book is very good for your average Uyghur. And goes ahead and stirs them up a little bit. Might even put a few of them in the lather. But in most cases, don't work anything better than just going ahead and having a cow with a shit and, you know, a mad cow with a shit encrusted tail, putting it in between her teeth and chasing their tail and teeth in circles. And that's what most Uyghur elements are. I've been to these little Reform Party meetings. I've been to the number of these meetings. And essentially what it is, you have Uyghurs who want to pretend desperately that they're not racist. That they're not racist. They love niggers. And they sort of think that, hey, if I go ahead and sell out some other Uyghur, that'll show how less racist I am. And essentially, all it does is show that you are just a sellout Uyghur. There, you know, I mean, it's just sort of like the passenger pigeon and the buffalo here. Millions and millions of herd of Uyghurs across the fruited and nutted plain. Well, we'll never run out of Uyghurs. Well, the answer is that they've run out of Uyghurs that are able to take care of themselves, at least. Now, you got to realize is that 95% of people, whites, don't have any leadership potential at all. None. I found that out, you know, in the militia movement or a number of things, and because, well, hey, what do we do, Martin? What do we do? What do we do? I mean, I like what you say, you propose, Martin, but at least you have an idea about how to progress. And the answer is, well, yeah, a pretty good idea. And generally what boils down to is, you know, let's just simply go ahead and find the better of the lot that we can find. You know, introduce them to a little bit of Christianity. You know, teach them, since they aren't in the Army, we weren't in the military, how to go ahead and zero in their SKSs. And we'll play militia for a little while. But we're not going to do any, you know, violent thing, you know, things, but we'll go ahead. And I went ahead and had a show, and I went ahead and anyway, that's what Edgar Steele said. I went ahead and wrote, you know, pretty well a article saying going with the flow of history. And pretty well, Edgar Steele and me end up having sort of a debate, although Edgar Steele didn't bother really to debate me. And I said, look, ever since, you know, the false flag operation 2001, see, Edgar Steele is thinking of going ahead, sort of setting up a new America. We're going to go ahead and have evil empire light. And when Edgar Steele showed up around 2000 or so, and I went ahead and talked to William Fink, and Harold Covington sort of thought the same thing, is that William, you know, is that Edgar Steele took, you know, Richard Butler's case in order to go ahead and make a name for himself. And what happens is they didn't really agree with what Richard Butler believed or said or anything like that. He just wanted to go ahead and get a name for himself. And there are a lot of people who went ahead and thought that Edgar Steele sort of blew the case. Because if you go ahead and let, you know, it's the same way with this thing, I guess, the World Church of the Creators and the rest of them here. What it boils down to is God does whatever the hell it wants to do. And they've gone ahead and passed, you know, they've gone ahead and passed laws. You can't sue the judge. It screwed you over. You can't go ahead and, you know, kill the prosecutor. Went ahead and screwed you over. Well, see, underneath that, you know, belief then, guess what? The thing to do is then become the police and then become the prosecutor and then become the judge and be just like Felix Dzerzhinsky and torture them people and put them to death. You people said that torture is okay? Well, that's only because you don't think that the broken-off broomstick is going to go ahead and be, you know, going to go ahead and be applied to the royal, bushy, dumb-yell bunghole. You don't think that the rusty pair of gelding pliers is going to be applied to the nuts of Dick Cheney. I'm quite sure, you know, Dick Cheney was on the receiving edge of torture. He'd go ahead and scream a different tune about maybe torture is not such a wonderful idea. But that is the way that things go. These people think they're going to be in power forever. And that's what's going to end up happening to Edgar Steele. The best thing that could happen to Edgar Steele is he goes ahead and he gets out on bail. And then what happens is his wife and his mother-in-law, they just go in the car everywhere with Edgar and tell everybody they know that they don't believe this crap for a minute. And therefore, the case against Edgar Steele would fall apart right then and there. The Zog doesn't want that to happen. I doubt Edgar Steele, no matter how good a lawyer he is or how bad a lawyer he is, I don't think he's going to go ahead and get out on bail. I think Zog got him where they want him. Essentially, they're not going to go ahead and allow Edgar Steele to live his lifestyle, which disproves everything they say. When I was in jail, why, that was one thing here. They didn't even want to go ahead and pretend I was guilty already. So they wouldn't go ahead and let me have pictures of my own grandchildren. Well, you're accused of molesting them. I said, well, yes, I'm accused. That doesn't mean that I have. And how am I going to molest a picture? Well, we don't believe you ought to be allowed to have a picture of that. Okay. Don't come whining, you know, piggy. When the last thing you see of your children Are you biting off their nuts here? You raping them, sodomizing them with a broom handle. Beating them to a meat grinder. And people say, well, Martin, you're going to do that? I said, no. The Wigger element's going to do that. You kill enough Wiggers, you make it to where, guess what? You used to be a policeman. You used to be a judge. You used to be a lawyer. The entire family dies. It's against the law to be a lawyer, a judge, a pig under the old regime. And that's the way it's always been in every revolution. And certainly, if you go ahead and look on my April 9th one called House of Ahab, that's the way Yahweh made it here. An ordinary criminal, he was hung, got 40 lashes, and if he was hung, he was buried by a regime criminal. The regime criminal's entire family was destroyed. And if you went ahead and sided with that regime criminal, you were deemed to be one of those regime criminals, and you and your family would die. So essentially, what happens is that, hey, if you're a pig, you're going to go ahead and be begging. You're going to go ahead and be begging to skin alive the erring pig, to crucify the erring pig. And if he lives for 4 days, maybe you'll just get by with a gelding and a raping and a 666 branded across your forehead forever. If a member of your family does evil and you don't go ahead and say, hey, this is wrong, I don't want any part of it, you are determined to be a regime criminal from a regime criminal family. And the time is coming up when this is far, far, far worse than anything Felix Dzerzhinsky could do. You see, when Yahweh went ahead and took all 13 tribes, not just 10 of them, captivity to northwest Assyria, he still hadn't given them the birthright. So therefore, the children of Israel had to survive so that they could go ahead and get their birthright. But now, we have wasted our birthright. And all the curses that Yahweh said that he would give to a disobedient people, and the main one that's coming to pass, is that you will be brought very low, and the racial alien and the Jew will be put very high above you, and you will be destroyed. In any case, I'm going to go ahead and welcome the Voice of Reason Radio. Pretty well, I was not too well loved by another false movement, great prophet here, old Peter the Skank. He actually went ahead and spent the first part of December 3rd, 2008, talking about how if he got outed, he would leave the movement, and then the last half hollering and screaming about me, about how I was another Timothy Bay, and I was going to go ahead and shoot their wonderful nigger president, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And therefore, that would justify putting all the Uyghur population in internment camps. And I've heard this stupid crap throughout the bowel movement forever. And anyway, I did not get along very well with old Mikey Kikey Jukes Calicat Connor. But for some reason, I've seen about 3 weeks ago where they were asking for some assistance from a number of people. And I was tempted to go ahead and ask, but I do have a number of things on my plate. Okay, so, let me go ahead and see if the chat is working. Okay, well, it doesn't. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get back on and see what's going on. anyway, I've always had my questions about Voice of Reason. You know, I used to call it Voice of Retards. And Mikey Kaki Juice Kalkak did not like me one bit. He pretty well was, you know, arguing he was going to go ahead and pre-censor anything Linstead said. Now, at one time, I ended up calling him the Whigger Whimperer, you know, Edgar Steele. And from this thing, I went ahead and said, look, you know, Edgar, you make a pretty good, you wrote a pretty good book. It gets the Whiggers all in a hot and bothering a lather, but when it's done, there's no place for Whiggers to go. And there's no place for them to go. They don't know where to go. They just don't have any leadership. And what I've seen in the bow movement is they're just at the very best. They're like Lot's wife. They don't actually want a white revolution because what they're scared of and what, you know, all these people want is they want a great white leader going to go ahead and show up on a great white horse and save them and somehow deal with the Jews and the niggers and the beaners and everything's just going to go ahead and be wonderful and everybody's going to have a new job and everybody's going to have a job and everybody's going to go ahead and be able to have four or five white children and everything's going to go ahead and be like it was in the 50s. And that world wasn't working back then. Because it went ahead and gave rise to the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and today. It's the father and grandfather of the times we are living now. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't perfect by no means. And pretty well it had the same fatal flaw as every white nation has had of going ahead and becoming an empire and bringing non-whites in. And then for the benefit of people who are benefiting from it, pretty well the entire native stock dies out. And that's what happened in ancient Greece and ancient Rome and Spain and Portugal. And that's what's happening today. We are being deluged in a flood of mud. Now, who's to blame for that? Jews? Answer, no, Whiggers are. If we could go ahead and destroy Whiggers, but the thing about it is, the pigs won't let us. You get thrown in jail if you stop it, start at the border, or start shooting beaners. Well, you go to prison. But I wouldn't live very long because you'd be murdered by these beaners. So what are we going to do? And the answer is just simply, let nature take its course. And that is what I argued about back in 2004. I said, you can't go ahead and change the population. It's the population that wants all this Walmart stuff, all this stuff cheap, that wants a high standard of living, but not being able to pay for it by taxes or anything like that here. They want to go ahead and feel good about them, and they think there's another Whigger they can go ahead and force, you know, a nigger to live with them, and that they'll look real good. And that's not the way it works. And what I see is that unless there's a great tribulation to where if you end up having police go ahead and do whatever, you know, whatever they want until there is a demand among the Whiggers that policemen exceed, you know, who makes false arrests is executed right then on the spot. And the pig, you know, pig goes ahead and asks for a trial. Well, guess what? The pig's family and the pig's superior and whoever hired the pig, they die too. If the pig asks for a trial, he loses the trial. In the case of Edgar Steele, I've gone ahead and looked at the comment section from the Spokane Times Review. And pretty well, the Whiggers, they want to see Edgar Steele fry. It don't matter. He's a nutcase. He's a racist. He's evil. And that's what the jury, you know, that's what the jury's going to go ahead and do. What I see happening is Edgar Steele sitting in prison, well, go ahead sitting in jail, not having access to a law library, trying to go ahead and be his own lawyer, and essentially, you know, maybe murdered or killed on the dirty, you know, jail food diet. And they get rid of them. And they're saying, well, what, you're backing off here. Now, I've looked at the boards, and there doesn't seem to be too much talk about Edgar Steele because he's been gone for, what, 6 months? He's a has-been. But Edgar, you know, Edgar Steele is not doing too well. Now, a lot of, you know, a lot of people, the old resistance, I went ahead and talked to one this afternoon and told him that the Wigger Whimper, you know, I said, guess who's in jail? And he said, well, don't tell me it's you, Martin. I said, no, no, it ain't me. You know, calm down. It's the Wigger Whimper. Edgar Steele? Yeah, Edgar Steele. I said, what's he in there for? Well, supposedly plotting to murder his wife and mother-in-law for insurance money. And, you know, this guy, he didn't have a high opinion of Edgar Steele, thought he might have done it. And I don't think Edgar Steele did it. If you're talking about $25,000, Edgar Steele goes ahead, and that's pretty well, used to be chump change for old Edgar. He used to be a high-priced, high-priced lawyer, or wannabe high-priced lawyer. Now, Idaho is an expensive place to live. It shouldn't be, because you have a bunch of white people there. You'd think living among white people would be a cheap, inexpensive place to live, but essentially the Jews and the rest of them that run it have pretty well dug their way into the working man's pocket. Used to see one guy who used to write a Patriot Report letter, newsletter, something like that. Came out of Pocatello, Idaho. And then next I seen it, it was in Pocahontas, Arkansas. I said, well, didn't you used to be in Idaho? Well, yeah, but it's nearly half the price to live in Arkansas, in Pocahontas, Arkansas, than it is, you know, in northeast Arkansas than it was in eastern Idaho. So things are pretty expensive. But anyway, Edgar Steele and the rest of them, you know, just like, you know, like Fade the Butcher and a few other people I was talking about, they think they're so much better than some people, you know, like, you know, who actually does something. You know, I want to go ahead and bring up a name that was in the news a year ago, i.e. James Von Brunn. Now, pretty well, I sort of knew James Von Brunn. He was a creator and about the only one I had any use for. But James Von Brunn actually went ahead and supposedly killed more niggers than Trader Glenn Miller did with a whole trailer full of explosives and the rest here. And I don't think he actually did. I think the other goofy niggers went ahead and plugged this other nigger. But here he is, tut-tut-tutting about James Von Brunn. This is what this wonderful lawyer did here. And I'm looking at from the June 10th, 2009, why Von Brunn won't be the last. And here he is, you know, saying, you know, that he didn't get along too well with James Von Brunn because James Von Brunn thought he was a pussy. Well, I thought he was a pussy. I was calling him the Wigger Whimperer. You know, because, have you heard the horse whisperer? Well, Edgar Steele is the Wigger Whimperer. He goes ahead and tells the whimperers, you know, wiggers a few things here and gets them all sort of to where they feel good about themselves and how they're going to go ahead and revolt, and they're sort of worked up here, like the mad cow, the crushed talons teeth running around in circles, but never mind nothing. So James Von Brunn did something. So he goes ahead and he says why James Von Brunn did. He has his own little idea. But what annoyed me about that, it's what he wrote about James Von Brunn. And I was annoyed at John Nugent. Now, his name isn't John D. Nugent. He went ahead and added D. Now, I don't mind that. I've gone ahead and made myself Martin Luther Dursinski listed. But at least I don't go ahead and pretend that I was born with those names here like John Nugent does. And I called him up on April 9th pretty well, a bunch of people said, hey, look, we want you to go ahead and dump Trader Glenn Miller and Alex Linder, and John Nugent wouldn't. He wouldn't go ahead and dump them worthless bastards. And here they are, calling him a faggot here later on. So he goes ahead and he leaves them, you know, anyway. But essentially, John Nugent tried to go ahead and make hay of supposedly knowing James Von Brunn. And pretty well made James Von Brunn look like a nut. To where James Von Brunn was murdered James Von Braun is if you like John Nugent here. I mean, you know, usually when he talks about Soltranians here, I sort of think of niggers. I sort of think of niggers aboard the Soul Train. You know what I mean? But I've seen something on the Hitler Channel about it, and it's nice. But you know what it is trying to go ahead and make another man-made religion off of nothing here, and it's not going to go ahead and work any more than creativity did or cosmetology did under Pierce. But anyway, you know, the Winter Emperor called them the self-styled martyrs' point of view. Well, he says, in a very real sense, I'm quoting the Winter Emperor, today's shooting is of a piece with that of the abortion doctor a week ago. The shooter was surprised to find himself treated as a common criminal, which he is, of course. No. Mr. Roeder was not a common criminal. He was a political soldier who went ahead and did what he thought he needed to do. So was James Von Braun. And the closest thing I've seen from what I understood is essentially it was a D-Day horse shit which pretty well brought him over the edge. He used to talk with John Britton, and both John Britton had family on both sides, you know, both sides during World War I and World War II. And James Von Braun was tore up about killing his own cousins for some dirty Jews. Here they did cut away his Social Security check for no good reason other than they could. And he goes ahead and he gets pretty well mad about that. And he sees all this crap about D-Day and he decides that he's going to go ahead and do something about it. And yes, he was a decorated veteran of World War II and a PT boat captain. But in any case, what Edgar Steele said, you know, Edgar Steele says is that he was not, he said, he was not going to go ahead and defend Von Braun's rhetoric or his actions. On the contrary, I roundly condemn them both. And he went ahead and also said that he was not defending the politically incorrect. I have always required they be fundamentally decent people trapped on the business end of a railroad job and innocent. They must always be innocent, regardless of how things might eventually turn out in court. And the thing about it is, he said he was not going to go ahead and defend Von Braun. He wouldn't do a single thing other than to secure him a fair plea bargain, court bargain, or a sentencing hearing. He never could defend his convict at trial. Even then, I wouldn't do a single thing for him pro bono, i.e. for free. So look, Edgar Steele, you're just people saying you're just a weasel for the money. And you're not going to go ahead and defend political soldiers. Now, I remember, you know, a lot of people said Gary Hunt was an agent provocateur, but right around 1995, me and Gary Hunt were the only two militia leaders who supported Timothy McVeigh. And Gary Hunt said quite correctly is that when you are fighting a revolution or a civil war, certain people are at certain stages faster than other people. And some people are, cutting edge regardless. And the rest of them are saying, no, 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 we can't start this revolution until the jackbooted thug is kicking in my door. And that's exactly where Edgar Steele is, or he was, because now they've gone ahead and kicked in his door, and he's cuffed and stuffed, and probably not going to go ahead and get anything good from the constipation and bill of goods. So then he'll probably want, well, there'll be a war now that he's in jail. But hey, when Von Braun is doing it, oh, no, 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 no. Von Braun's, maniac here. Which is pretty well what he said to my friend John Britton. John, when he was wanting to run for governor of Idaho. I pretty well told him is that I've been through these little political parties, and yeah, they pull this crap all the time. They go ahead and get a little red mob, and they take over a minor party, And then what they do is they go ahead and set up to where you can't go ahead and have a counter coup or something like that. And that's what a bunch of screwed up Mormons did. Nigger-loving Mormons went ahead and elected a nigger named Paul Venable as their president of the Idaho Constitution Party. And then Paul Venable says, hey, guess what? The white man can't run. Edgar Steele can't run. Edgar Steele's all pissed off about it. I said, well, shoot, just go ahead and sue. You know, just go ahead and sue Paul Venable. Just go ahead and sue these idiot Mormons who went ahead and brought this crap on here. And that's probably what I'm going to do to libertines here. They've kicked me off the ballot. I'll be damned if I ain't going to skin every single one of them alive here, them and the family here. They'll learn that guess what? If you want to play politics, you got to pay the price of admission. You piss somebody off, and they become, you know, in power. They're not going to go ahead and, you know, give you a free pass. When you're fighting for power, you're going ahead and risking your life and your family's life and your friend's life. Which, oh, by the way, item number 6 is that if I don't need to know your name, I don't want to know your name. Because, essentially, let's say you live somewhere in California, you're wanting to get the hell out of California, get the hell out of California. You don't need to talk to me personally to do it. That's what a lot of the pisser and the rest of them say, well, Marty, you don't have a real congregation. Well, I do. It's just across the fruit and the plains here. But insofar as being your own personal, you know, priest here, well, I go ahead and pray for the, you know, the well-being of ordinary people. But I'm not Jimmy Swagger. I'm not Oral Roberts. I'm not going ahead praying over your particular name here and asking you to send me any money. In fact, I go ahead and ask you not to really send me any money. I don't need the money. Don't want the money. You know. Now, even though my format is sort of like Gene Scott was never shy about asking for money. Well, I'm not Gene Scott. I'm not Gene Scott on, you just call me Brian. Anyway. We have Alexander on. I greatly doubt it. I greatly doubt it. But, in any case, we have Alex Linder on. I greatly doubt the gut sick Reno Easel 2 ass cancer is anywhere around here. You know, in fact, this Alex Linder is talking like he has a little bit of sense. I'm looking at the chat room. But here, you know, here's Edgar Steele going ahead, call me a maniac here. Okay, what? Well, who cares? I mean, it really helps for meeting people to think I'm a maniac, because when I tell them I'm going to make them eat their nuts, they tend to believe me. At least I'm not a liar or a hypocrite here. If you people want to think I'm a total maniac, well, hey, fine by me. Fine by me. If liability were to come down here and I were to gel them here, chances are I wouldn't ride the needle. Chances are, though, is I'd be set immediately back up to Biggs here. And I really don't want to go. I don't really want to go. But Liar Bill, he don't really want to go ahead and risk a denutting either. So, anyway, where was I? Edgar Steele would, you know, essentially look down upon the people who actually fought, just like the militia generals. And you know, when I go ahead and, you know, like, you know, with Visser, called his little thing Pisser Cinder here. Well, I knew that what would happen is that there'd only be a few people left on it. It'd just be a burned out shell of what it used to be. And just like Holy Wars, he ends up going ahead and nuking it. He deletes it. And then he goes ahead and he tells a different story. He tells a different story that he didn't have the V-Bulletin 3. He didn't own the V-Bulletin 3.8.3 software. And hell, I sort of believe him because, hey, this is a thief. But I don't believe him because I think that he ended up getting the money from Zog to pay for V-Bulletin 4.0. But, you know, the thing about it is once you've been in the bowel movement for any length of time, you end up seeing this stuff time and time and time again to where you usually know what they're going to do before they know what they're going to do. And what happened with Edgar Steele happened with a number of these militia generals. They go ahead and talk, well, we're not violent, we're not for this, we're not for that. Well, if you're not for violence, then what are you going to do? You're going to go ahead and run for office? Well, guess what? Face Terry Glenn Miller in Missouri, you can't run openly as a white man. What are you going to do? And the answer is there isn't any options left. There's none. The thing about it is there's not really any, you know, there's really no sense in going ahead and being a, quote, militia unless what it boils down to is if you are pretty well teamed up with a farmer or as a farmer, you're teamed up with somebody, you know, family, hopefully, friends, hopefully, from the nearby small town so that when things go rough here and there is no oil or there is nothing here, there, you manage to go ahead and ford up at the farm and you have food there that's going to last you about a year, you know, while the rest of civilization is falling apart. And essentially what you're doing is that you are forded up. And that is what you really need to go ahead and make a militia. Don't go ahead and have a militia just like, you know, they did in the 90s to where we're going to go ahead and have a change. We're going to go ahead and do some Tea Party shit. You know, this Tea Party stuff, it's old here. You know, I've seen this crap back in the 90s. 2009 and 1994 were pretty well the same here in that they both had a bunch of militias for them. You know, 1994 against Bill Clinton, and in 2009 against the new nigger. Scared about what the hell, you know, Uyghurs scared of what's going on. So they went ahead and formed militia, and they talked about how they're going to go ahead and take their country back and, you know, whatever here. Now the Tea Party has been pretty well taken over by the Republicans. And they're just talking the same shit about how they're going to do things different than what they did when they were in power. Just a few short years ago under Bushy the Second. These fucking idiots believe them. So when I see Edgar Steele talking about, well, hey, that person there, y'all, it's sort of like George Carlin's show here. That person in front of me who's just poking around at 40 miles an hour, he's an effing idiot. This guy who's driving 85, 90 miles an hour, 25 miles faster than me just passed, he's an effing, you know, he's effing crazy. See, only myself who's going ahead and driving 70 miles an hour, you know, is, you know, A-okay. And it's the same thing with the revolution here. That person there who says, kill all the pigs, kill all the lawyers, kill all the Jews, kill all the niggers. Why? They're freaking crazy. They're doing the equivalent of 75, 85, 90 miles an hour here on the interstate. I'm doing 75, 80. Okay. You know, this other one who's just poking along here, saying we have to work with the system. We have to go ahead and run for office. What an effing moron. And here are all these Uyghurs, each wrapped up in themselves, thinking that they and they alone are the ones to set up the tempo for revolution. But let me just tell you this here. When things fall apart, they're going to fall apart really, 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 really fast. Really, 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 really quick. And in most cases, you won't have any thing to tell on, except by a pig going ahead and say, hey, that food you went ahead and saved up for the winter, we're taking it. Oh, by the way, here's $20, and it's worth about a nickel. You know what I mean? What are you going to do? Some of you people are going to be facing one hard choice as to when it is safe to kill pigs in defense of your life, in defense of your family's life. See, I think these sort of things here because, oh, You know, this time last year, I got removed to a different cell. See, this other guy, he molested my granddaughter, Helen. You know, my fat ass stepdaughter, Emily, chose that she wanted to screw that piece of crap. And he didn't like me. He said, I don't think you respect me. I said, no, I don't respect you. Heck, it took me 2 years to get pretty well fed up with husband number two. And husband number two was the one who I invented the term meerkat with, like a little idiot animal that runs around with a little head bobbing around outside his wife's pussy because she dominates him here. And, oh, by the way, this guy named Jim went ahead and told about his typical wigger that he met in California trying to get a little bit of work out of him. And essentially, same thing. His old lady is calling him by his cell phone every 10 minutes to figure out what's he up to. But she can't trust him. She got three little wigglets, and essentially she's breeding like a nigger or a beaner. And I've seen people like that here. I mean, you don't have to tell me about the nature of white trash because I live across the street. I lived right across the street from it. And the only thing I really cared about was my four grandchildren. Now, I did manage to go ahead and get both husbands sort of working. And then Zog came and destroyed my family. And, Edgar's going to find out the hard way is that shit, he don't have no rights. It's a constipation bill of goods. It's just nothing but a bit of crap here. Now, he should be able to go ahead and get out on bond. But if he gets out on bond, like I said before, and he has his wife, and he has a wife's mother, hey. I don't know his wife's name. Let's just say it's Joyce. The wife's mother, mother-in-law's name, Elaine. Hey, Joy, Elaine, Joyce and Elaine, hey, they're going ahead and eating with me. They're going ahead and going to the restaurant. They're showing up there. Nobody's getting poisoned. It goes to preliminary hearing. Joyce and Elaine says, hey, look, that little piece of shit. I told Edgar to get rid of that piece of shit. Joyce says, I told Edgar to get rid of that little piece of shit. They turned on us. Edgar ain't going to kill me. He ain't going to kill my mom, Elaine, here. Elaine goes ahead. No, I told him to get rid of that little piece of shit, too, here. Guess what? Is that going to go ahead and last very long? The answer is no. But do you think Zog went to all that trouble just to go ahead and get the case dismissed? No, I don't think Edgar Steele is going to get out on bond. Because if he does, hey, just have wifey poo and mother-in-law say, hey, Edgar is the prince of the earth here. And the case falls apart. You know what I mean? So I like my case fell apart. Very first preliminary hearing. My son, charges are dismissed. Why are charges dismissed? Well, a witness said that he wasn't going to testify against you. I said, hey, it's my grandson. My grandson, Adam. What do you do? He just told you lying bastards that he wasn't going to go ahead and lie against his papa, right? So therefore, your case fell apart. All your little social workers and all this other crap, from your little house of cards here just fell apart, didn't it? Fell apart. Preliminary hearing. But see, what they wanted to do is they wanted to go ahead and not let me see my grandson. They wanted to go ahead and essentially, hey, kid, we're going to go ahead and send you back to the nigger home. You're going to be butt raped here unless you go ahead and come up with this little video to where, hey, daddy's, papa's kissing your pee-pee every day and twice on Sundays, both across the street and, at his house here. Or we're going to go ahead and, send you to Butthole City with the niggers. And then these bastards want you to whine. Then I tell them, look, don't you come whine to me when I apply a pair of pliers to testicles of your spine. And guess what? There won't be no charges dropped. They'll go ahead and go with it here. And you and your family will be destroyed. Because, look, it isn't the constipation, the bill of goods, that makes regime criminals behave. It's fear. It's four. And that tell, 140 million Uyghurs are dead because they could not get along, because they allowed regime criminals to do whatever the hell they wanted to do. Until there's only about maybe 15 or 10 million people alive who know that it isn't smart to steal something that don't belong to you, and it ain't smart not to mind your own damn business. Until you have 10 or 15 million white men and women and children who are able to go ahead and live in peace with each other without any coercive set of laws in order to go ahead and justify Jew parasitism, Uyghur parasitism, Manzer parasitism, there isn't going to be any new America, Edgar Steele. Now, you end up, you know, I imagine you're just like old Hardy Lloyd. And I don't know what happened to old Hardy Lloyd. I know he's back in a Pennsylvania nut house, because I haven't heard nothing from him. His webpage got taken down real quick, just like James Von Brum's webpage got taken down. I'm sort of surprised that Edgar Steele's webpage ain't been taken down yet. Because he's on federal charge. Oh, well, hey, he's a terrorist. He's whatever. He do whatever he want. I am surprised that Edgar Steele's webpage ain't down yet. And some of you might want to go ahead and create a mirror for it. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some things that I like about Edgar Steele, and I went ahead and said some nice things about his book. I said, hey, you know, if you're a Uyghur, maybe it'll get you rounded up, get you off your ass, and maybe you start you on the long journey here. But Edgar, this thing, it don't do nothing for me. It's sort of like you going ahead and showing me a little bitty, you know, 1-inch dildo. You know, I'm Debbie Downey here. it don't do anything for me, Edgar. It don't even make me go ahead and miss a heartbeat or, you know, can't hold my breath here. But, you know, Edgar, it was a good book here. It really was here. And don't get me wrong, there is a time and a place for everything in the movement here. Now, a few other people, including Morris Gillette, said, hey, this is a wonderful book. You know, he went ahead and printed, you know, his review. He didn't print my review because, yeah, well, my review was, well, Edgar, I mean, you know, some of us Christian Day people, we, you know, I mean, what is there to discuss about racism, you know, about race? I mean, hey, Jews, you know, non-whites do not belong in a white society. End of story. There's nothing to discuss. You know, so I guess you can't have a serious relationship with Christian identity types. I mean, what is there to discuss? There's nothing to discuss at all. So it reminds me of Trader Gordon Miller. He gets on that here, and guess what? He's not going to kill the Jews. He's not going to kill any Jews. He's not going to kill all the niggers here. I've heard Trader Gordon Miller twice here. Some nigger calls in, you going to kill me, are you? Oh, no. What happens is that We're gonna go ahead. I get, you know, Trader Gordon Miller doesn't go with this. He doesn't say, well, we're just gonna go ahead and cut up a, you know, a fried chicken here and throw a piece onto this here board, you know, this thing, you know, this boat here which is heading to Madagascar, a piece of watermelon. And what happens when you go ahead and go there? We'll just sneak up behind you and pull the gangplank here. Sort of like what I did to poor old Poopy Dog here. I went ahead, and he was hiding under the bed here. You heard the water tank. You heard the, you seen the signs of the time. Old Poopy Dog, you know, Buddy the Poopy Dog, slash Little Cujo, Bell's the Pup. He had seen the, you know, he was smarter than some most Uyghurs. He had seen the signs of the time. The hot water tank has turned on. The electrical hot water tank has turned on here, and he could hear the sound of water boiling off the electrodes. He can see that there's some laundry being done. He can see that, you know, that Daddy has gone ahead and taken a bucket of hot water from the, you know, from the bathtub and moved to the kitchen sink and they're doing dishes. He can see the signs of the time here, because usually what happens when all that happens here, the next thing that happens is poor little Poopy Dog is sort of shivering, you know, in lukewarm water, undergoing, He thought Claude B. Fleabath as if he's just a little nigger pup chew. And what he did is a little bastard crawled underneath the bed and hid. He's seen, unlike most wiggers, he's seen the size of the time, and he was prepared. He was making himself scarce. Well, what I did is I went ahead, made a big deal about putting on my walking shorts, getting out my keys, and putting on my shoes, and he said, oh, no, Dave's going to the mailbox, high point of the day. So, yeah, we went to the mailbox, and what happens is Poopy Dog, he was on a short leash, tried to chase cars, and acting like a little Poopy Dog ass clown, and guess what? He comes up, we get in there, and didn't get anything really worth anything in the mail, and guess what? He ends up getting the flea bath anyway. So he's sort of a little, he's not under anxiety attack here. He's under anxiety attack when he fears the flea bath. What happens is after he gets the flea bath, he's sort of a bash for a day or so. But see, unlike Wiggers, Poopy Dog's seen the time of the time here. But does Edgar Steele know? What happens, he's going to have plenty of time to sit in jail. So like when I was in Nut House, I was just sitting every day. They do whatever the hell they want to. Forced medication. It was 2 milligrams of risperidol. Essentially, risperidol was treated for, psychotic disorder not otherwise specified. In short, they claim you're nuts, but they don't claim where, and risperidol isn't really treated for that, but guess what? They got to go ahead and justify you being the nut house and you not being able to go ahead and show up in court, so they say that you are psychotic. Anyway, let's see if this thing is working. Yes, it's working. Oh, okay. A Bishop Nut House who died here. Sort of like... I went ahead and told my friend. He's sick and ailing. I'm not going to go ahead and give his name, but he's sick and ailing. And I said, last week, Trader Glenn Miller went to the hospital of Springfield for a liver complaint here. And I said, Jim, I'm praying that Trader Glenn Miller and the Get Sick Guido Weasel and GS Cancer croaks off before you do. He said, well, I'm praying for that, too. I said, yeah. I said, Rush Limbaugh used to go ahead and make fun of Gorbachev the way he had a little birthmark that looked like the Eastern Coast here, about how it's spreading to look like the continental United States here, Gorbachev's birthmark. Well, I said, when I looked at my mother, so Trader Glenn Miller's liver spots, they were growing. They were growing together here. I mean, the old rat bastard's 20 years old. He's been drinking. He's been drinking like a drunken Anglo mestizo for 950 years and probably snitching for 40. I mean, no wonder. No wonder he's having liver problems here. No wonder his liver spots are growing. I don't know if liver spots and liver function here are related, but it would seem to go ahead and be the case. So I went ahead and told my friend that, I'm hoping the worthless bastard croaks off before he dies here. And I call him every week from the cell phone, rates. Well, free cell phone. I call him and find out how he's doing. He's one of my 5 stalwarts, and one of them died of blood cancer last December. And he's the sickest one of the lot here. And I try to keep up with him here. And that's one thing that gets me. There's this guy named William B. here over on Stumblehead. And he used to call me Marty the Molester. He used to hate my guts here. But now I got him out of my hand. And same way with one of my 5 stalwarts, I used to abuse him quite a bit over on 4FAG feeds here, and he sort of came around. Came one of my 5 stalwarts. So that's what gets me is that sometimes, even though, regardless here, and I have abused a number of people, I've been mean to a number of people, and I'm not sorry for being mean. Some of you people don't wear it, except you can go ahead, you know, get a good club 2x4 across the head. And the other thing about it, is that some people, I guess they do learn. And I think Edgar Steele is going to end up learning. He's not as smart as he thinks he is. He never was. Just because he was a lawyer doesn't mean he's the smartest critter ever, even if he thinks he is. You see, in a totalitarian society, okay, this open letter to the Wigger Whimper Edgar Steele. It's on my white nationalist forum. It's post number 388. And essentially I was making fun of Edgar Steele, called him Wigger Whimper. And I had some little wigger who was going ahead and fussing about how, what a big idiot I am. And the thing about it is that these people you call wingnuts, they're the ones who are actually see what's going on far better than you. I was going ahead with Fade the Butcher. He was making peace with this guy named Guy White or something like that. And then he goes ahead and says, well, it's awful to go ahead and kill children. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, look, you know, look, Fade, your great-great-great-great-grandfather, whatever, when he moved into Alabama, as he looked at, killing an Indian child was smart. Because if you killed the one or 10 little Indian boys before they grew up to be big Indians, chances are you and your children would go ahead and live. Because it's easier to kill them when they're young than when they get older here. And you got to wonder, what makes you think a Jew? You claim to be an anti-Semite? Well, actually, don't say you're an anti-Semite because Jews are not Semites. You know, there's some people who say they're Khazars, which would mean that they're descended from Ashkenaz, but really they're descended from Canaan, most of them. They're all descended from Cain, who's the spawn of Satan. Call them Kenites. Don't call them Shemites, because Shem was the middle son of Noah, who was a perfect, who was a pure generation. Oh, I was looking at this stuff on the Hitler Channel. These idiots go on about how Noah was descended from space travelers because that's what it means, a perfect generation. No, you effing idiots. It means that he wasn't racially mixed. He was a pure white Adamite man here. He was the middle son. Japheth was the oldest. Ham was the youngest. Ham didn't have much control over his behavior. Because on the ark, he was one of three critters that screwed when they weren't supposed to. One was a dog, the other was a raven, and the third was Ham. He was screwing Negroes on the ark here. Gave birth to Cush. But he was also screwing, his wife was this bitch named Yama, who's Tubal Cain's sister. Cain's great-great-great-however-many-great-grandson. So as a result, Canaan was cursed because he was of the spawn of Satan. And he should have been cursed, and he was cursed. But Ashkenaz was not cursed. He wasn't particularly blessed. So if you call him a Semite, that means you're calling him from Shem. And Christian Danny believes that we're descended from Shem. In fact, if you go ahead and look, there's some, if you get really into dual seed line Christian Danny, there's some people that believe that Shem actually became an immortal, sort of like Enoch. But I'm not going to go ahead and get into that. But if you go ahead and look at the book of Jasher, you find out that Shem probably, it depends on tradition you believe, Shem killed Nimrod. Esau killed Neo-Nimrod. But Shem went ahead and killed Nimrod and cut him in pieces. And You know, that's where the Horus and the Cirrus and all these other legends, you know, Nimrod and Semiramis come from. But you find out that Shem was actually alive to go ahead and bury Abraham. Who'd have thunk it? Anyway, so don't call them Semites. But here's the thing. Go ahead and say, well, you know, I'm anti-Semitic, but you know, I don't want to go ahead and kill little Jews. Well, what are you going to do about it? You know, are you going to feed them beans and buttermilk? You know, same as Trader Glenn Miller? Someone ends up having to go ahead and do, you know, doing the killing. Now, this killing is not going to go ahead and take place under conditions of Zog. It's going to take place under conditions called the Great Tribulation, when things are going rough here. But most Wiggers don't have any more sense than they won't understand that, guess what, niggers are no damn good until they are being chased through a wheat field by Leroy Tyrone Williams and Ma Dick X, looking to go ahead and have an one-stop breakfast, lunch, and dinner from Mr. Wigger. And like Mr. Wigger, all he's going to leave behind, I just saw a little story I did about the three little pigs, and about the second pig, they're going to leave nothing behind except a pile of nigger shit. You know, three little pigs is, you know, that and a pile of wolf shit. But in any case, no, let me see, have I pretty well covered Edgar Steele? Edgar Steele's going to have a lot of time on his hands, I predict. I predict he's not going to go ahead and be able to make bail. I predict that he is going to be, that he's going to go ahead and have plenty of time to go ahead and think. And he probably wishes there was a revolution here while he's in jail. So I've covered number one. Number two. Number three, how Zog is no better than communist Russian using informants. When I was a kid, I was reading the Reader's Digest, you know, reading my grandmother's Reader's Digest. I also read her Book of Mormon, and I thought, you know, the Book of Mormon was just a bunch of crap. Well, I thought it was, you know, she said, what do you think of it? And I thought, well, Joseph Smith was quite a novelist. He had some pretty good names for layman, you know, for the brothers of Nephi, of layman, Lemuel, which was actually the name of this, you know, these people thinking about this lost continents of Lemuria. And I think that's where Joseph Smith bought it. Nephi, which was before the days of Nephi grape soda. And what happens after Nephi, Joseph Smith ran out of imagination, the fourth son was called Sam. So he had Laman, Lemuel, Nephi, and Sam. Now, going ahead, look at that, convince me that Joseph Smith made it all up here. I mean, come on, Laman, Lemuel, Nephi, and Sam. I mean, you know, if you want to go ahead and talk to some Mormon missionaries, you might ask them about how come Joseph Smith came up with Laman, Lemuel, Nephi in the days before grape soda, no less, and Sam. What happened? Did the archangel Mormon run out of imagination, or did Joseph Smith? But in any case, I went ahead and read the book. Occasionally, I see a young Mormon missionary, and I go ahead and Nephi has Wi-Fi. Well, what happens is that Nephi, this was days before Nephi grape soda. I don't know if it's a Mormon outfit or not. You know, N-E-P-H-I, Nephi. But, I wouldn't be surprised if some Mormon went ahead and said, hey, look, this is, the good people, you know, Latter-day Saints moved to America. We'll call, you know, the soda after, you know, Nephi or something like that here. Anyway, where was I? Anyway, I was reading this Reader's Digest, you know, section here, and they had a little condensed book at this section here. They used to And what it was about this dissident, Russian dissident named Daniel. And what happens is Daniel is sort of running around in the workers' paradise of Mother Russia, and he's hungry, and his family's hungry. And so, like, Jean Valjean, he went ahead and he seen a loaf of bread, you know, two loaves of bread laying in a freaking wagon. So what does he do? He just goes ahead and he picks up those two loaves of bread, and he takes it home to his family, and they eat it. Well, the KGB is running around. They're the ones who put the loaf of bread. They know very well who took the loaf of bread. You know, it's just sort of like bait for a little fish. And guess what? Old Daniel, he has a choice of, 10 years in hard prison for economic sabotage or becoming a rat. And unlike Trader Glenn Miller, who only required about 3 hours of non-liquor before he went and turned rat, I imagine old Daniel was pretty well, having a problem, but he ended up deciding to become a rat. And that's what happens with, now the Soviet Union, this was written in the 60s, just after Khrushchev under Brezhnev, long decline of rot under Brezhnev. But you see, mighty evil empires, they don't have any new, there's nothing new in the sun, and mighty evil empires are no exception. And so, what happens, it doesn't take very much, to go ahead and become a rat. Now, some people, like Trader Glenn Miller, I'm convinced, was a rat. He was a rat while he was in the army. Pretty well spying on people, making sure, looked like a typical drunken Anglo-Mestizo, and essentially reporting on people who are, being Klansmen so they can go ahead and get administrative or whatever bad conduct discharge. Because there was a lot of, I remember, on 75, 76, there was a, I was working out at the school, Crowder College Farm, and here come a tobacco spitting redneck who just got kicked out of the army. So he'd get kicked out of the army, I'm a Klansman. Okay. How'd you get found out? Somebody else who trusted, shouldn't have trusted, but did, snitched me out. And that's what I think probably Trader Glenn Miller exactly was a snitch. But here in this country, you end up having all these people snitching on each other here. And that's probably what happened to Edgar Steele. Somebody he trusted who he shouldn't have went ahead and came up with a lie. Sort of like liability clueless. If the lying master would have lasted more than a day and a 3 days. You know what I mean? He come down here, he sat like a lump, he's seen a little bit of stuff, figured out that guess what, I can't go ahead and I can't go ahead and spy worth a crap on anybody. So that's exactly what he did. He went ahead and spied on everybody. So, anyway, where was I? I'm checking on my chat. Anyway, where was I? This mighty evil empire has people snitching on each other, and they do it because they like to. Just sort of like liability clueless. It comes up with deluded lies, and the thing about it is that guess what? I'm glad. By being mean to Liar Bill, by going ahead and insisting that he behave, and he comes up with this crap about how he's against hate and all this sort of crap. This sort of crap I expect for some Jew. Why are you giving me this crap? Well, he told me to hate, Debbie Downey and, Mark Downey. And look, it's sort of like, me being buddies. Actually, I was buddies for Trader Glenn Miller for 4 years. I went ahead and talked Lewis Beam and Catch a Lane that I would pretend to be Trader Glenn Miller's buddy. And then he'd go ahead and know, introduce me to reporters, and then I'd tell reporters what a dirty rat Trader Glenn Miller was. And I got away with that for close to 4 years, from, you know, August 2000 until March of 2000. I think Wiggerswill and Rotten Doggett went ahead and ragged me out about what I was actually saying about the bastard on VNNF here. So I probably, you know, I probably should pretend to be his buddy here. But then again, I was getting tired of pretending to be that rat's buddy. But no, I mean, if you end up having a known rat like Trader Glenn or Visser or the rest of them, I mean, you gotta wonder here. I mean, why in the world does Visser think that if he goes ahead and deletes not only posts but entire forums, shouldn't people figure out that he has something to hide? And the answer is, of course, he has something to hide. There is nothing. There is nothing on my forum that I've ever deleted. Now, some of the stuff I'm a little bit embarrassed about, but unlike Athena, I didn't spring full-fledged into what I am today. It took a number of years to get me the way I am. Now, there's some people who thought I've always been, you know, an insane, murdering psychopath, but hey, I mean, I assure you, it has taken me a while to go ahead and be what I am here, although, you know, pretty well the twig was bent a certain way. But I don't hide what I used to say. In some cases, I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I leave it up there to go ahead and show is that there was a time when, you know, I sort of thought like a lot of you did here. I was, you know, I was a Wigger, inducted into Wiggerism. Shoot, I worked, you know, I was in fire direction control of nuclear weapons for Zog in Germany. Now, how, you know, how brainwashed do you have to be in order to do that? Huh? But no, there's more and more and more of these agent provocateurs, and essentially what they do is that they spy and they lie, and the courts know that they spy and they lie, and the courts go ahead and let people go to prison. I have a friend of mine. You know, he was the exact opposite. I met him in the nut house here, and he's been charged with, you know, child molestation here, of rape. Even though, that you know, these girls, they allegedly raped. Well, he didn't rape them because their hymens were intact here. But they wouldn't allow him to go ahead and put that on evidence here. His public pretender was selling them out. And he, you know, well, either you let me be the public pretender or I, you know, or you be your own public pretender. And what they did is they took poor old Nutty, what's his name? And they made him defend himself, and on, you know, the second trial, the first one was, you know, a mistrial, and he got convicted. He got a year, you know, year and 7 days. And what happens, he gets some money. He gets some money from his son to buy a real lawyer to go ahead and overturn the old conviction. So what they did is they went ahead and dismissed the charges, which are the same charges in a different county where they say he's nuts. That's why he's at the nut house. Instead, they go ahead and send him to the prison. So now, he's back. He's been set back about at least 6, 7, 8 months here in getting, you know, in getting what he needs to have done here. And Zog does this all the time. Makes up stuff here. So what happens, you end up having corrupt courts and corrupt juries. Now, if Edgar Steele does go to trial, he's going to go ahead looking at what I've seen on these newspaper lists here. If he ends up having to face a jury of his peers in that area, he's screwed. He is screwed. But then he ain't screwed if he shows up in front of a judge. He's screwed regardless here. Now, I've been looking now. I would expect to see a whole bunch of stuff on the boards or forums, but I don't see very much. But, hey, when I was a kid, they were making a big deal about how Russia, you know, about little Pavel Ogolchek here, who went ahead and turned in to death his grandparents and parents for hiding grain, and, oh, how awful a system it is. But here in this country, they go ahead and grab people's children and try to testify that mommy and daddy's, you know, molested them here so that mommy and daddy can go to prison or be murdered by criminals. So, like, you know, I mean, And I've seen criminals. I've seen a lot of criminals. You know, Visser's nothing more than just a little criminal. He has all the mannerisms of a little drug-using criminal. Him and Brian Wright. I mean, shoot, listen to him here. It's just like listening to a conversation here that you overhear at the Nut House between two little, you know, crazoid meth goobers. Criminals. That's all they are. Anyway, I'm going to number five. I did go ahead and talk to William Fink, and pretty well told him about my problem getting Pastor Lynn set up and running. And I'll probably call him Tuesday or Wednesday. We'll see if we can't go ahead and get Pastor Winstead and Pastor Winstead's blog up on oneandone.com. And pretty well I went ahead and told him about Edgar Steele, and he agreed that it seemed to him that Edgar Steele sort of went ahead and took a dive against, you know, Pastor Butler. And there's a lot of people who thought, you know, not everybody, Christian Denny. Harold Covington sort of thought, you know, Edgar Steele took a dive. Of course, Covington and Edgar Steele are not talking to each other over this homosexual, you know, article they printed in 2004. And Covington sort of took advantage of old Edgar Steele, but then again, oh well, no big deal. But, anyway. And item number six. Somebody went ahead and sent me their name and email address, and I thank you for your trust, but, you know, the thing about it is that unless you are in the, you know, the immediate vicinity where we can arrange a meeting or something like that, I really don't need to know your name or who you are. In fact, you know, all these people, oh, this is an Asian provocateur, he's an asshole, he's going ahead and he's deliberately trying to go ahead and cause trouble within the bowel movement here by, you know, talking this gossip here and making people not trust each other. And all I can say is, well, okay, well, think whatever you wish. I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't go ahead and look for names. I don't ask for names. I don't ask for money. I may go ahead and talk sort of like old Gene Scott did when he used to be on the air over on KSN. And I used to listen to it maybe by half hour or so, but, you know, before getting out, there wasn't really much to Gene Scott other than begging for money. Well, I don't beg for money. I don't need your money. Don't want your money. Really, you know, I mean, what am I going to do with your money? You know, I mean, I got enough to spend on myself. You know, the garden's going real good. I mean, I don't really need or want your money. Now, if you want me to go ahead and pray for you, you can go ahead and just use a regular alias or something like that. I don't really need to know your name or anything like that because, really, I'm not worried about making it as a big bowel movement leader. I mean, somebody, Apocalypse, said, well, this is the first guy I ever heard who turned down money. Well, maybe, you know, probably so, but if I don't need your money, I disagree. I'm not going to go ahead and fight with this Paul Mullet or something like that with Aryan Nations, but I also agree with James Britton, John Britton's father, who went ahead and says, Richard, why are you going ahead and spend this money on literature? Just going ahead and littering people's lawns. I mean, is Christ going to go ahead and come to them by means of that doing? I mean, are you really bringing in new people to our church by doing that sort of thing? No, what you're doing is you're just going ahead and telling everybody that you're a big bowel movement leader and that you're a general or colonel or major or whatever, and they're sending in $25 and $10 a month, and I can sort of understand that with Pastor Butler, who didn't have anything. You know, after he lost his farm. But shoot, if you're able to go ahead and work for a living, or do something else here, I mean, you should be working for a living. I mean, Paul went ahead and he made a big deal about how he didn't accept tithes. You know, neither did Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus Christ not accept tithes? because he was not a Levite and thus authorized to accept tithes. So Jesus Christ and Paul didn't accept tithes, but rather pretty well worked on either gifts or worked on what they'd already earned. In the case of Paul, he actually went ahead and went back to his trade as a tent maker. He was living with Priscilla and another, you know, her husband. And I forget where he is offhand here. I need to study such things a little bit. But Paul, you know, Paul didn't go ahead and demand money. So Jesus Christ and Paul didn't demand money. I mean, I'm not going to go ahead and try to explain, you know, why I go ahead and demand money. Well, especially when I'm not. I mean, this you know, when the order came out, and I revere the order. Don't worship them, but I revere them. But the fact of the matter is that all that money they gave out, especially $250,000 they spent on Trevor Glenn Miller, they'd done better if they had not gone ahead and robbed any banks in the first place. Certainly not give it to Trader Glenn Miller. And the $400,000 they gave to William Pierce didn't do much better. Pierce was at least somewhat of a smarter businessman. But like I'm trying to explain to these idiots over on Fade the Butcher, you know, Wingerswill, and this, you know, I call them, you know, Coon Channels Lady Creatarded. Why I try to explain these goofy bastards. Look. There wasn't a single Christian, overt Christian within a couple miles of William Pierce's little compound. But guess what? You idiots certainly managed to screw the pooch. Quick enough after Pierce died. And I sort of think that essentially the FBI, the government knew full well that Pierce had received some stolen money. It was mentioned while Pierce was alive in his book, The Fame of the Dead Man's Deeds, that Bob Matthews, you know, shows up, gives Pierce a paper sack full of Franklins, and I'm not talking about wood stoves. He gives Pierce a sack full of Franklins, and guess what? Next day, Pierce goes down to the, the county courthouse, and pays $90,000 cash. Pays off his compound. Don't own any money. Now, what did, you know? Now do you sort of think that, you know, Bob Matthews and you know, giving him a bag of money and then him being able to pay off the mortgage the next day had something to do with each other? Yeah. But guess what? It's against the law to receive stolen goods, especially stolen money. It's especially against the law to receive stolen money from racist white supremacist bank robbers who knocked over an armored car. I mean, but, you know, if you go ahead and try to tell Wiggerswill and Kujali retarded that, I said, look, there's not a single Christian within a couple miles. You know, I'm sure the West Virginia people, they have their own little version of Christianity, but there's a single Christian, and certainly no Christianity within, what, a couple miles of your place. And guess what? You idiots managed to go ahead and screw the pooch. I remember Kat Tulane, she used to every so often go ahead and fulminate about phone book viewers who got $400,000. Well, $400,000, Pierce got the most of it. You know, he got the biggest slice of anybody. You know, I mean, you'd have some. Trader Glenn Miller, I think, was the next highest. And then, Trader Glenn Miller is the next highest, but, you know, Dan Gaiman got, what, either $12,000 or $25,000, and he went ahead and turned rat. So, in any case, you end up having this, you know, this sort of thing here. But, you know, here they go ahead And in this thread, that you know, Fade starts, is, are white nationalist differences irreconcilable? And the answer is, of course they are. Of course they are. If there's anybody who wants to go ahead and look at probably the best revolutionary movie, I would recommend that they go, and they can watch it on for free on YouTube. They watch 1996's Michael Collins. And guess what? Michael Collins was killed not by the British. You know, instead of the IRA, he was killed not by the British. He was killed by a fellow Irishman during the Irish Civil War. And I see the same thing happening. I mean, there were some people, Six Killer told me while I was in that house, is that some wag went ahead and told the Wigger Squill that he would rather morph into a nigger or a Jew rather than see Christianity, see that Christianity prosper. And these creators, they deliberately go ahead, and what they do is they whine and bitch and piss and moan about Christianity being the religion of a Jew, of a dead Jew on a stick, and then get all pissed off when I say is that creativity is based about a dead Jew on a dick. The old Benny Buttfuck Klassen, essentially, was sort of like the Richard Barrett of his day, and what he did, he was a self-hating Jew who went ahead and turned the Jew religion of worshiping Jews as their actual Messiah, as an actual God, he went ahead and turned it into worshiping Uyghurs and Anglo-Mestizos as literal gods. And these creators, they hate Christian identity far more than they hate even the Judeo version. But they deliberately go ahead and mix the two up, and then they whine and piss and moan about Christian identity. And here they are, running around with Christian, Christian trappings, like calling themselves reverent. Look, there are a few individual creators I can sort of get along with. I really respected James Von Braun. Of course, he was more of John Britton's friend than he was mine. I was more just of an acquaintance. But, on the other is Mike Mazzone, and only because Mike Mazzone has at least a sense of humor and a little bit of balls. But I got to wonder about old Reverend Mongoloid Hardy, who at least went from being creator to Woden's only living prophet to live, to where old Mongoloid decided that what he was going to do is he was going to go ahead and cut out the middleman and just simply worship himself. That's what you creators ought to do. You ought to just simply run and go ahead, try to force or make up some new Jew Age religion, Wodenism or whatever. You ought to just simply go ahead and worship yourself, because that's what most of the Uyghurs do. Their religion isn't Christianity, it's solipsism. And I have an old post from 1996 about that. They worship themselves. Rather than worship, claim to be Christian or claim to be pagan or claim to be creator, just simply say, I worship me. I worship me as a God. My God is me. Then at least you'd be honest about it. I swear on me. On my oath is me, I swear to do whatever. Rather than go ahead and worship Uyghurs as Uyghurs. Anyway, I had the fast clown. I'm going to go ahead and dig for the fast clown's thing here. I think it's old congenitally created biological, kaiken member who went ahead and sent this thing here. Let me go ahead and see this crap here. Where was I? I'm looking at my email. Reverend Sim, pastor, and he is pastor in quotes. I have followed your quote writing and your radio show in quotes, using both terms loosely. I guess he's using both terms loosely here, just sort of like Betty Buttsock would probably use this mangina here. I mean, for all I know, he was probably one of the 12 create target pistols here at the start for some time now. I have come to the conclusion that your position toward other white nationalists puts you in a category below a nigger animal, and your anti-white sentiment is worse than that of a Jew. You might as well be a kike, because you are certainly more on their side than on ours. Look, dumbass, you're the one to go ahead and whine about worshiping a dead Jew on a stick here, and then you're all pissed off when I tell you you worship a dead Jew on a, on a dick here. Anyway, I'm looking, look at that. Looks like guest number 70 here found out that I put people off in moderation here. Anyway. Okay. Anyway. Where was I? Nobody likes you. Nobody wants you around. Even your people in the CI can't stand you. It's people like you to bring disgrace to our movement. You, sir, are more backwards than a nigger. I should just leave the movement gracefully before someone decides enough is enough and comes to your doorstep to sort you out by any means necessary. Regards, Reverend Alexander Sin, Creativity Alliance. And I went ahead and looked at the Creatard web pages. And essentially, what happens is this Creatard isn't even named here. So he's probably some little lone-ass clown somewhere. But I sort of suspect he's congenitally Creatarded, you know, biologically racist here. He went ahead and told me that V.S. Harrell said that I was the biggest loon in Christianity. Well, I said that preterists are only by courtesy in Christianity because they go ahead and claim that white people are in the sense of the lost tribe of Israel. But preterists, you know, believe that all prophecy was fulfilled in AD 70 and that Christ isn't coming back for a second return and that we're living in Christ's kingdom now and, you know, silly, stupid crap by which they believe whatever the heck they believe. And I've never had an argument with a preterist that worked out anything, because we don't even have anything to discuss. Preterists believe whatever, I mean, and one thing I found is that you have five preterists what they really believe in, and outside that all prophecy was fulfilled in AD 70, and Christ ain't returned for a second time, there's nothing that preterists will stand here. So I went ahead and told them what I had heard about B.S. Harrell. Essentially, he was the biggest ass clown. He runs around and he whines about everybody else. And the thing about it is that nobody pays any attention to him, and they're glad he's in Tennessee doing whatever he does in Tennessee. So I don't really worry about that. And Wiggerswill was telling them they ought to stick away from Christianity. And I agree for once with Wiggerswill. I mean, look, you know, look, Creatard, why are you with anybody who claims to be Christianity? You don't really belong among us here. I mean, you're a Creatard. You worship, well, essentially a dead Jew on a dick, Betty Klassen. You know, a Ukrainian Jew or Polish Jew or some sort of Jew, Hungarian Jew, some sort of Jew. And I went ahead and posted this thing that Covington always posts here, but although I don't think Covington made it up. I think most of it was from the late Rick Cooper, who went ahead and came up with this stuff here. But essentially, some of the stuff, you know, he goes ahead and he prints that I went ahead and stole it from the SPLC. In turn, what happens, that particular thing was not only by the SPLC, but some of it was by Matt Hale. I went ahead and looked at the little timeline, and some of it was about the creativity. They go ahead and admit the same thing, is that essentially Betty Klassen was trying to go ahead and get rid of creativity to anybody he wanted. Heck, he even asked John Metzger, you know, Tom Metzger's boy, to take creativity off his hands. So, some racial religion is that, isn't it? Creatard, you know, the thing about it is most of these creatards, they're sort of like the, you know, clan of, clan of shitheads, you know, that wire Bill DeClueless was in. What happens, they all claim to be members of the white race here, and liability clips, I mean, shoot, he's the lightest one of the lot here. At least he has sort of orangish hair and blue eyes. Most of them look like clan of drunken Anglo-Mestizo mamzers. And as a result, I mean, you know, same way with Create Targe. Most of them are Anglo-Mestizos. And secondly, what they do is that most of them come from the big cities or inner cities or suburbs or whatever, and your average Christian identity type is usually from a farm or a ranch or a small town. I don't really know of very many people from the big city who get into Christian identity. Now, a lot of them are hillbillies. And the thing about it is, most of them aren't into dual seed line. Most of them are one seed liners with their own little thing in their own little one and two and three family congregation here. That's what the vast majority of Christian identity is. And 99.99% of it is below ground. And that's why I never get my little head bent out of shape at what the pisser or liabil or whoever is talking about me. Because essentially, they're just talking to me. Talking to a few other people. They're not talking to the vast majority of people who are in Christian identity. At all. It's pretty well below ground. And Zog is running wild, looking for informants, and there's none to be found. I mean, how do you go ahead and get somebody? I mean, you can go ahead and put enough pressure on somebody to go ahead and inform on their own family. But if Christian identity is just one or two or three, you know, family churches, and you know, none of them, most of them do not want to go ahead and be politically active. They don't want to be found out. They don't want to lose their kids. They don't want to have trouble. Most of them, you know, most of them, they're homeschooling or something like that. They're homeschooling. They say, well, I don't really like the way they teach stuff, you know, in class here. They certainly ain't going to tell them, well, hey, you're a bunch of heathen pagan, you know, Satan worshippers here, and, you know, I don't want my kids to have anything to do with you, you know, because I'm Christian identity. In fact, more and more whites who ain't Christian identity, they're, you know, they're pretty well taking their kids out of school and homeschooling them because, hey, they don't want them to become a bunch of glib or wigger, nigger-loving, shithead faggots. They don't want that sort of thing to happen. It's not just Christian identity anymore. But the fact of the matter is Christian identity is the racial religion of the white man. So, you know, back then, how many Jews were running around in 600 AD in Scandinavia? Probably not hardly any. They were all a bunch of Khazars who were living on the plains of Khazaria, of Russia. So would the old religions have a way of dealing with Jews? Answer, no. But Christian identity has always had. They've always said that Jews are small Satan. So why, if you're honest creatard, why do you have a problem with Christian identity? And the answer, you have a problem with Christian identity because you're a lamser, a skinhead from an inner city who does not like Christianity, and because you don't like Christianity, you go ahead and deliberately confuse Judeo-Christianity, which Christian identity people hate. Don't you think that we hate all these ass clowns who are saying that they're for Israel? For the Jews, that Jews are God's chosen people. I mean, you think you creatards despise that sort? No, as Christian identities despise them even more. Because what they are is they're just a bunch of Shabbos wiggers. They're a bunch of traitors. They're a bunch of race traitors who would suck a Jew's dick in a heartbeat. But then again, that's what you creatards were based on here. That's what Benny Klassen came in. See, Benny Klassen was a clever Jew who figured out, sort of like Richard Barrett, how to go ahead and get some skinhead to suck his dick. That's what you creatards are. And you go ahead and you give us Chris Sandy people. Now this idiot goes ahead and says, you know, come to your doorstep to sort you out by any means necessary. I mean, this is the sort of shit that comes up with the pisser and liability clueless and the rest here. And the answer is that liability clueless, he sat for a day and a half on my chair, picked up a perfectly good, healthy dish of spaghetti because he was scared shitless. He's a lot like Terry Glenn Miller in that regards. Most of these people are cowards. You come to my doorstep causing trouble, I get to kill you. I probably get away with it, too. That's what liability the clueless sort of figures out, too. I may decide not to go ahead and geld him, you know, because gelding would probably go ahead and get me up to Fulton quick enough here, but if I just go ahead and kill the bastard after what he said, I can get away with it. You have no business driving 300 miles or however many miles you come out to cause trouble for me. If you come out to cause trouble here on my doorstep, I get to do whatever I want to you. Might spend some time in the house over it, but hey, I'll get away with it. Anyway. So, anyway, what am I? I'm sort of looking about this here. A lot of Christian identity is about ego. A lot of it is here. If you're Christian identity, I urge you, make sure that you take care of your family. Make sure you have, don't join an open public militia. I've already told you what militia you need to join. You need to go. And with your family members that you can trust, and with your friends you can trust, you need to go ahead and make a deal with a farmer you can trust that if things turn bad, you can float up. You can float up. Just like people did in the Middle Ages here. Dark Ages. They floated up. If there was a plague going, the only way to go ahead and survive that plague was you moved away and you isolated yourself. What happens is those fleas wouldn't go ahead from the rats or from someone coughing wouldn't get you if you floated up. Did not go into town, did not go to the village, did not go ahead and go to the church. You stayed out there and you stayed alive. And that's what you're going to have to do in this great tribulation as well. I hope that you bought enough ammunition. I hope that you went ahead and cut down, you know, enough trees so that people all can't go ahead and sneak up on you. And know and be lucky about when you have to shoot your first pig. That's what you need to do. Last thing you need to do is go ahead and, you know, stamp your little feet and pound your little chest. Say, I'm Christian Danny. I'm Christian Danny. I'm bad. I'm tough. I'm this. I'm that. Me? I'm 52 years old. Zog already got me firmly in sight. If tomorrow they wanted to go ahead and claim some grandson, another grandkid went ahead and claimed that I molested them here, well, hey, off to prison or off to jail. They do whatever the hell they want to. That's what Edgar Steele's going to find out. He's going to find out the hard way. These people do whatever the hell they want to. I'm looking at all these elections here. How wonderful diversity is, and all these women got elected here. Well, guess what? I'm an open white man. I'm not allowed to run on the ballot. So guess what? It's not diverse as far as white men are concerned. White men don't get to run if they claim to be white men, claim to be proud white men. So as a result, what does a white man owe this regime? Answer, nothing. Nothing except a bullet or a rope or a knife for those who follow, those who support, those who love the system. Nothing. If you're a white man, you're Christian Danny, you owe this regime absolutely nothing here. But on the other hand, don't go out. If you have children, you love them children. just keep a low profile. Don't make a big deal of yourself here. Now, Visser, he don't have much choice here. He's just a little thieving meth goober here. You don't have any real, no source of supply, and essentially, I think he's caught. I think he got caught with drugs, and essentially, in order to keep from going to prison, he's become a little rat. And I sort of think, you know, I mean, he got this money, all this money in January, and then he goes ahead and he deletes all these posts. And, you know, I mean, I'm fairly friendly with Bill, you know, Bill Figg here, because, hey, Bill Figg doesn't need me. Hey, I got along fine before I even met Bill Fink. So I don't need Bill Fink. So therefore, we can go ahead and treat each other as equals, and we can go ahead and get along, you know. And if I don't like who Bill Fink associates with, well, guess what? Yeah. Well, oh well. Bill Fink runs, you know, Bill Fink runs his forum. He runs his webpage the way he sees fit. And I know better than even tell him what to do. Because he pretty well tell me, you know, where I can go ahead and stuff my idea if I run his thing here. But on the other hand, Bill Fink don't tell me how to run my stuff either here. So, you know, get along just fine with Bill Fink. I may not like some people he's with here, i.e., you know, Mike Delaney and his little, you know, kike or mamzer or whatever here. And I'm still convinced they're the ones who went ahead and dropped a dime on PastorLinstead.org. But I can't go ahead and prove it, but that's what I think. So I'm not big buddies with them either, you know, in any case. But, hey, you know, I don't want them going ahead. And if they dropped a dime once, they dropped a dime a second time. And so I'll just go ahead and just leave them be. Because as it's written here, I mean, there's a time to go ahead and pull up and burn the tares. But that's at harvest time. The harvest time hasn't come up yet, has it? Anyway, I think I'm pretty well covered about everything. And so I think I'll usually talk, you know, steady for about 2.5 hours. But the fact of the matter is that guess what? There is no unity in the movement. And anybody who wants unity is usually a rat or a nation provocateur who wants just one head, so they're like Caligula, so I can go ahead and just chop it off here. The proper foundation for Christian identity groups, is decentralization. By family church, by family congregation. Because we believe the same thing. And while I'm working on us believing the same thing, I'm trying to go ahead and get the one seedliners up to dual seedline level. But on the other hand, you know, I'm not going to go ahead and, you know, make them... You know, not go ahead and make them do anything. So, anyway. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sort of looking at the thing here. What happens within Christianity, you need, you individual, men, family men who are looking after your family. That is who you need to look after first here. That is your first, you know, that is your first obligation here. It's to your own family and to your own local congregation. And since most of you don't know how to go ahead and be, you know, politically effective, you don't need to be showing your ass. You need to stay underground. Oh, stupid phone. Anyway, as long as going ahead and beeping here, I think it's because the thing charged up here. But you need to be looking after yourself here. That is who you need to be looking after first. Now, with this, you know, this bowel movement turd, I pretty well cover, you know, the people that I've met in the movement. And the movement is a rather small bunch here. Really, there's really less than about 20 real major name leaders. Very small outfit. And sort of like the militia movement in that, what you end up having is that you end up having for about every single movement, you end up having somebody who's trying to go ahead themselves as a spy to, you know, to whichever movement führer there is. And that's what I've seen. That's what I've seen in 1996, 1997, before all these militia groups went back underground. Once they went underground, you end up a whole bunch of informers who didn't have any place to go, didn't have anybody to form on. And that's what ended up happening with the militia movement. It just pretty well went back underground, sort of like a stream of water under pressure. A whole bunch of water was under pressure, and so it went ahead and broke the surface. And then you end up having a bunch of parasites and predators and a bunch of that bunch here. And usually the office that they always go for was in security, you know, was security director. That's what happened with Rick, you know, with Rick Spring, Pastor Butler. He became Butler's security officer. Well, guess what? He's the one who's going ahead and selling all this stuff here. And the thing about it is, this Rick Spring, you know, faction was Jonathan Williams and Ron Blevins, Bill White, and Michael Burks, and Visser. And Visser's the last of, from what I gather, the Rick Spring faction here. Other than maybe Billy Roper. I think Billy Roper was just going ahead and playing at it here because he wanted to be in charge of Christian Identity. See, toward the last, here he had both Butler and he had David Lane's stuff he had to sell because, you know, Catch a Lane got tired of being harassed in St. Louis. She moved back to Secaucus, New Jersey, and got out of the David Lane business. I don't know if she ended up divorcing David Lane or not. Billy Roper ends up going ahead and getting that, you know, stuff here. And David Lane used to be one of Butler's ministers. So that's why I don't make a big deal about ordaining ministers who want to be ordained, because the harvest is great and the harvesters are few. That's why I didn't have any problem trusting Liar Bill DeClueless. But just like Liar Bill DeClueless came on early part, all you people are burning in hell. What do you mean burning in hell? That's not Christian Identity doctrine. Where you come up with that crap, sort of like with the pisser. You know, pisser comes up with hell and purgatory. Hell and purgatory? What's that? There's no such thing in Christian Identity. Hell is just a hole in the ground. Or it can go to hell. You know, Christian Identity don't have an ever-burning hell. So why in the world do you have this stupid crap? Essentially, what they've done is they've gone ahead and taken posts from the new pisser sender, and they've gone ahead and they've changed them and they've altered them. You know, one of the ones that they've altered, I mean, pisser's come up with 10 lies that I supposedly tell. Well, no. There's 10 lies that pissers say that I tell, you know, the pisser actually, you know, that the pisser and Fruit Loops, you know, say here. You know, one of them is I'm Amy Rose. Well, no, Amy Rose is some female who, I don't know, I've never heard her say anything worth, you know, mentioning, other than, hi, I'm Sweet Amy Rose. Well, what do you make of that? She went ahead and sided with Pilgrim against, you know, on my side, and essentially they went ahead and jumped on a case. She was, you know, me, which wasn't the case, but oh well. Liars will lie. Well, I'll go ahead and finish it sometime here. It's sort of getting late. It's, you know, close to 1 o'clock, close to 3 hours. But in this bowel movement, there's only a few people who actually do anything. And the problem with most of them, you know, be it like, you know, Alex Linder and Don Black and David Duke and a few other people who I call the Patriots, who are trying to go ahead and make a living out of thieving. You know, most of them are just thieves, and most of them are just fraud bots. They're frauds. And when you've gone ahead and been moving as long as I've been, you've gone ahead and seen these people, and they act. You know how they're going to go ahead and act. how they're going to act before they know how they're going to act. Because you've seen, they're like several cycles ago. 2 or 4 or 6 or 8 or 10 years ago, you've seen exactly the same thing. Someone who shows up, gets a little bit of fame, goes ahead and pretty well blows it, then is removed, and then guess what? Oh, well, you end up coming with the next movement, Messiah, foul movement, Messiah, and he goes ahead and he betrays his followers, and everybody goes boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Sometimes the same bunch will follow a different, will go ahead and follow the movement Messiah of the month and learn absolutely nothing from what they, from what they have started. Just like said the man, look at him straight away, forgets what he's seen. For me, I've been around for a while. I've seen it. I don't think there's anything in the bowel movement I haven't seen before. That's why I could predict what would happen with old Pisser Cinder. He'd go ahead and become a ghetto of about 4 or 5 idiots, and then what the idiots said would become so embarrassing that they'd go ahead and nuke it, just like they did Holy Wars from 2000, from summer of 1999 when Andy Harrison took over in May of 2000 to about 2002, 2003, when they went ahead and nuked it. Once you've been around, you see the same thing over and over and over again.
Anyway.
I'm looking at the look at what's going on in the chat room. Anyway, look, folks, there's no such thing as movement unity. In the case of Edgar Steele, I'm making a prediction that he's not going to go ahead and make, that he's not going to be able to make Bond, even though he should. Because if he makes Bond, he's going to go ahead and get the wife and the mother-in-law, if for no other reason than because they pretty well need his earning potential. Let's say he's guilty as hell. If he makes Bond for no other reason than to keep old Edgar in sight, make sure that he gets in the car with them, they're going to be driving everywhere if he gets out on Bond together. And if they're driving everywhere and they're big buddies or something like that, whatever some little snitch goes ahead and says, it's going to mean nothing. It's just going to be the little snitch's word against Edgar Steele. And the thing about it is nobody trusts the government. Most people think that someone who's addicted to talking like Edgar Steele is, those nickel rants, they can go ahead and do an audio cut and tape here, and it don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing anymore. Michael Crichton said the same thing about time at Jurassic Park here. Photographic evidence means absolutely nothing. You can go ahead and Photoshop and spoof and do whatever you want. When I was Pisser Screw, I had a hilarious cartoon of me as Edgar Bergen and John Britton as Johnny Tonto, puppet here, and they did. I was a hilarious cartoon. I also laughed at it here. But, anyway, photographic evidence and audio evidence don't mean anything because it can be faked and spoofed and, done anything with. So Edgar Steele is able to go ahead and run around and show that, hey, he loves the wife, he loves the mother-in-law, wife and mother-in-law love him. Not even before a hostile jury will they have enough evidence to go ahead and make for a conviction here. So I'm predicting that they'll find some excuse to not give him bail and not allow him to go ahead and tell his side of the story, because that's what's ended up happening here with Hal Turner even. They made a big deal about how Hal Turner was not allowed to go ahead and get up and tell his side of the story. This other guy here, this Dan Jones or whatever, He was not supposed to be allowed on the internet. I've already talked about Mongoloid and James Von Brun. Their webpages disappeared. What happens, they don't want anybody they accuse to have their say in front of anybody. So as a result, they have to be silenced. In my case, since I wouldn't accept a lawyer, I'd be sent illegally to the nut house. And that's what happened to me. Now, what happens is that, by the way, Edgar Steele, he went ahead and claimed that he was attorney for the damned. And I used to call him, even before this thing happened, I used to call him the attorney for the fuck. Because if you had Edgar Steele as attorney, you were fucked. Now, in many cases, because you were A, guilty as hell, or B, Zog was going to go ahead and roll over you any way which they could. And most cases, Zog was going to roll over you any which way they could. But in any case, I think Edgar Steele's going to find out that being a hotshot lawyer don't mean shit here when you're in jail. You can't go ahead and have access to your secretary or to your law books or to any place which will go ahead and print out your letters. Print out what you actually have to say. So anyway, that's my prediction. I don't think Edgar Steele's going to be able to make bond. Because they're going to set it up too high or just deny it all together. That's my prediction. I could be wrong. Because, if he does get out on bond and he does, make nice with the wifey per mother-in-law, old Zog's case is going to turn to shit real quick. It's not much of a case anyway. Everybody smells a setup. Actually, if Zog wanted to go ahead and prove good and ten here, they let old Edgar Steele out on bail. They let him out on bail. So they see what happens is wife and mom poo, they don't like him here, and they're not having anything to do with him here, and they're keeping an eye on him here, so guess what? There must be some truth. See, we went ahead and let him have his, be out on bond so he could have his day in court. We're running things according to plan, constitutional and legal, shipweight, shape and otherwise. But I don't think they're going to do that. I really do think that Edgar Steele is innocent. I think he's a wigger whimper. Who's this? Okay. So, anyway, I think Edgar Steele's innocent. I think he's a wigger whimper. And this moment does need wigger whimpers. Don't get me right. You're wrong. Edgar Steele wrote a fairly good book. I didn't like it, but hey, he wrote a pretty good book. The reason I didn't like it because it didn't have anything for me. And I'm a hardcore revolutionary, but, he wrote a good book. And I think he's innocent. And, that's why I don't think he's going to get out on bail. We will see what gives up. Well, tomorrow's Monday, so they can go ahead and keep him for what? Or the weekend. Even though by law they're supposed to have a judge available. They do for the state courts. They should for the federal courts. And from what I gather, I'm not sure if he's been indicted or not. I need to go ahead and look. I don't think he has. I think he's just merely charged. So, I don't know. This thing may go ahead and blow over real quick. But a lot of it is, it's just simple harassment. It costs a lot of money to defend yourself in court. And, they don't go ahead. You can't go ahead and sue. You can't go ahead and press criminal charges, even though the United States Attorney is supposed to do that, because they're not going to go ahead and go against their own pigs. So yeah, Zog gets a free shot on people. This is that. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and I think I've pretty well covered everything here. So, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and unless somebody has anything to, say, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start closing up here. It's been about 3 hours. So that's usually what most of the shows come in. Anyway, I'm going to say, hail victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.